Hi, this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. We appreciate everyone tuning in whenever and however you're watching and listening. You know, whether it's right now on YouTube, Facebook, or pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. Obviously, so much excitement right now with East Carolina baseball. Last week, we caught up with former Pirates Turner Brown and also Eric Tyler. Right now, we're going to catch up with another former East Carolina third baseman. Let's go out to Lexington, Kentucky, and on the line we have Mark Minicazzi. How are you?
Bubba, doing well, man. Yourself?
Doing well. I appreciate you carving out some time for us. So we know you got a game this evening. So just bring Pirate Nation up to speed. Last year you managed a championship ball club in the Atlantic League with the West Virginia Power there in West Virginia, Charleston, to be exact. You know, that was part of the deal with the minor league baseball's reshuffling and kind of changing the way they did things. And now you're in Lexington, Kentucky. So, you know, tell folks what you're up to.
Yeah, I'm coaching in the same league I was last year. I moved over to a new expansion team, the Wild Health Genomes out of Lexington. So it's been an awesome opportunity to be over here. You know, obviously we got great facilities and, you know, Lexington's a great city to call home during the season.
No doubt. I know your ball club, and we'll dive in more specifically later on, but you have, what, something like 15 former Major League players on your roster?
Yeah, we have a little over half of our roster. I think we have 15 of 27 players. Have played in the major leagues within the last 3 or 4 years. And the other 7 to 8 players would most likely have either significant double A time or triple A time. So, you know, it's a veteran league. The whole goal of this league is to get guys back to the big leagues, get back to triple A. So, you know, it's really exciting to be in that kind of, you know, be able to work with these kind of guys. You know, you have guys who played in the big leagues last year, you know, guys trying to get back this year. So it's exciting. It's fun. You know, it's a different style of baseball than, you know, at certain lower levels.
Tell us, you know, some of the more, you know, recognizable names on your roster, some of those guys that have been in the big leagues that maybe our listeners and viewers may recognize.
Yeah, we have guys like Jimmy Paredes, played with the Phillies for a while, played with a much Felix P.A. played with the Orioles for a while and the Cubs. Moises Sierra played in the big leagues in 19 with the Nationals. We have a bunch of pitchers. Max Posey, who went UNC Greensboro, is one of our pitchers. Aaron Blair, who pitched with the Atlanta Braves for a little while, Braves guy. We have a guy right over here, Ryan Harper. Ryan Harper threw 36 innings in the big leagues last year for the Nationals. So we have a, you know, a large group of guys who, you know, played in the big leagues, are still, you know, trying to get back to the big leagues this year, next year. So it's an exciting, great group of guys. And, you know, that's my job here, is to, you know, give these guys an opportunity to get back to that level.
I know last year when you were managing the West Virginia Power, we talked to you, we had you on the program. I'm going to tell Pirate Nation how this opportunity to manage in the Atlantic League came about.
Yeah, well, one of my good high school friends, you know, owns a couple teams and actually reached out to me during COVID about building some baseball teams for that post COVID season. And within like 48 hours, I was able to bring him about 40 players. So when he had the opportunity last year to to buy a new team, you know, he pretty much forced my hand to come manage. And, you know, it's probably the, you know, best thing that ever happened to me. I wasn't really looking to manage or coach, but, you know, after last year, it was such an amazing experience and, you know, so rewarding to be able to help guys and see guys have that opportunity that maybe at the end of my career, I didn't have. You know, it's extremely rewarding and fun. And man, there's nothing like going to the ballpark every day and, you know, managing a game, occasionally getting tossed out of a game. And, you know, at the end of the day, winning is, there's nothing like winning, you know.
Now, Kaz, I know over the weekend you said that you were tossed from a game. So that worked out well for you. You were able to actually catch some of the Greenville Regional.
Yeah, we had a 6:30 start, and, you know, it was really good timing that I got tossed in the third inning because it was about 7:05. Perfect timing to watch a UVA game. So, you know, I won't say it just in case my boss is hearing. It wasn't planned, but, you know, it was a very nice executed ejection in the third inning. And I was able to watch the Pirates, you know, play that great game against UVA and, you know, watching them ride this winning streak and stay hot. And man, it's what a weekend. I'm excited to watch this weekend. No scheduling conflicts right now this next weekend, so I won't have to get ejected to watch the Pirates.
Now, Kaz, you were a handful of you were one of a handful of players who had the opportunity to play both at Harrington Field and Clark LeClair Stadium. So just talk about what your memories are of the jungle, both the original jungle and then the new jungle at Clark LeClair, because, man, that place was rocking over the weekend.
Man, watching on ESPN, just to see, you know, I think they had, what, 5,600, the largest crowd ever on Saturday. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, it's funny, the first couple years at Clark LeClair, you know, there were small little trees and we're like, man, that's not the jungle that we knew. And, you know, I don't want to say Father Time has hit me a little, but I want to say it's we're getting on about 18 years since we played there. And those trees are nice, fully grown. It looks like the jungle again. And, man, that place is rocking, man. What an advantage we have as Pirates to go there and, you know, see those people supporting the program. And, you know, they're like the 10th man on that field. They bring so much energy. It's awesome to see.
Yeah, it was very interesting to hear. I mean, we know, and obviously we have a biased opinion, but pretty strong opinion of the baseball atmosphere that we present and everything we bring to the table. But to hear a University of Virginia fan or a few over the weekend that we were talking to in the tailgate lots, after they had just been eliminated by Coastal Carolina, they were wishing us good luck and, you know, just saying how they had an excellent time. And one of the fellow Pirates I was tailgating with asked him, he said, you know, in all your years of following Virginia baseball, and because this gentleman had been several places, he's like, have you seen, like, how does our atmosphere stack up? And he said, I've never seen anything like it.
It's truly a special environment. I mean, it's something – you know, there's very few places in the country you go that have that kind of, you know, love for the game and know the game. You know, the fans don't just go there to cheer. They know the game. They see the game and they're into the game. And that's such a difference. You go to some places with great crowds and it's not that, you know, Pirate Nation kind of feel, man. People are into the game and, it, you know, you hear that. Just listen to the game. I got goosebumps watching that purple gold chant in the fifth inning when, you know, the team really needs to rally. You know, it's like, man, that's awesome. The team, you know, rallies around those fans. They get fired up and you see it with the guys. They're fired up. They're out there competing and, you know, having that support and having those people behind them, you know, gives you an advantage. It's awesome to watch.
Yeah, it really is, and it does give us a tremendous competitive advantage. You look at it, this is, the seventh Super Regional that East Carolina has advanced to, and all of those, with the exception of one, have been when the Pirates are hosting, and we've advanced every time we have hosted, with the exception of 2018. So there you hear the statistics from ESPN all the time, and the importance of Super Regionals and but, playing some excellent crowds both at Harrington Field and at Clark LeClaire, but probably the best atmosphere you may have played in front of at home, you know, on in front of the home fans, I should say, was in Kinston at that 2004 when the Pirates hosted Stony Brook, UNC, Wilmington, and Tennessee.
Yeah, that was a special time, man. That was, man, I had a long, long baseball career, and, you know, most of my best memories in baseball were, you know, as a Pirate. So, yeah, the energy they brought that time really, you know, helped us, you know, down in Kinston. But, man, to have it, it's just, it's different when it's in your backyard. When you practice every day at Clark LeClaire, and you come and see those rocking people in the outfield at 2 p.m. for a 7 o'clock game. I mean, there's nothing like it. It's awesome. It's, you know, I'll tell you this from afar, it's exciting to watch. And man, we're hoping for a big weekend against Texas this weekend.
Last weekend, I had the opportunity to see some of your former teammates, guys like Darryl Longhorn, as well as John Poppert, and I'm sure several others were there in attendance. And it's great to see former Pirates from a number of eras coming back and supporting the program.
Absolutely. I think I got text messages from like 8 different players who were at the game with, you know, Tommy Eason was there, Ryan Norwood, Ryan Jones, John Poppert. I had all these different people texting me pictures of other guys that we played with. And man, it's awesome to see the guys support the program. And, you know, it's what makes the program so special is guys coming back and supporting and, you know, rooting them on. Cause you know, a lot of programs don't have that kind of loyalty, and man, it's a special, East Carolina is a special place.
I mentioned having guys like Turner Brown, as well as also Eric Tyler, you know, from the Coach Godwin era on the Cliff Godwin era. But, you know, going back to your time here recently, we caught up with Darryl and Trevor Longhorn, and I asked them, you know, about that 19-game win streak. Obviously, the Pirates recently had that 20-game win streak that was snapped by Coastal Carolina, but fortunately, we took care of business. Clear 15-4, but you know, just talk about, you know, having a win streak of that length and just how hard it is to win that many baseball games in a row.
I mean, I think they were saying it on the telecast last time. I mean, you know, things have to go your way. There has to be special breaks. There has to be special calls, you know, but it really is a testament to this team. I mean, you saw early in the year, you know, they never gave up, even when things were tough. You know, they got through some tough times when, you know, a lot of us probably thought, you know, man, what, this is going to be one of those years. You know, they fought through those, and, you know, to rally and break the school record at 20. I mean, it was awesome to watch. I know all us 2004 guys were sitting there like, come on, what full circle. Most of us were recruited by Kevin McMullen, you know, the third base coach for UVA. So to see our record being broken against the guy who recruited most of us to come to East Carolina was, you know, pretty fitting and awesome. But it just shows what kind of character and leadership you have from the top of this team. I mean, man, CG, what to keep those guys believing in this group is truly amazing. It shows the leadership they have from Cliff. And, you know, you see guys like Agnos and Worrell who, man, what regionals those two had. I mean, that's leadership. Those guys taking over and saying, hey, we're putting this team on our back. You see pitchers like Spivey, who's a reliever, go 5-6 innings and just dominate in the biggest game of the year. I mean, guys are stepping up. Guys are saying, this is not my role, but I own it and I'm going to be the guy. And it's, you know, it's a special group, man. I hope this is the first time we're in Omaha. This group shows that they're resilient and they have the leadership, and man, it would be awesome to see a dog pile at Clark LeClaire to get those guys to Omaha.
It certainly would. And you mentioned Bryson Worrell. He's a guy we've known about his potential for quite some time, and we've certainly seen him at times, but then at the same time, you know, there's been some inconsistency there, but this year he's put it all together and at just the right time. And like you said, he's put this ball club, you know, I won't say on his back, because you mentioned how guys have embraced their roles, but he's really stepped up and performed the way we knew he could and on a consistent basis, and had four home runs over the weekend. Meanwhile, I think in the last 2 to 3 weeks, he's been on the SportsCenter top 10 at least twice, maybe three times. So just talk about it, you know, from someone who's in professional baseball as a manager. You know, like, what do you see in Bryson Worrell's future? And like, where do you see, like, what are you hearing as far as where he may go in the upcoming draft?
I mean, he has the tools. He has the tools to play at the next level for sure. I mean, great, great build, switch hitter, you know, elite center fielder. I mean, he's definitely a guy who has, you know, is going to have opportunity at the next level. And, you know, it's exciting. It's like, you know, you don't get many guys who go into their senior year, you know, and really blossom. And, you know, there are guys who, you know, maybe that freshman, sophomore, junior year with high expectations, it takes a little longer for guys to develop. And just seeing his progression this year, man, it's impressive to see him play center field. It's impressive to see the at-bats he puts together, you know, and that leadership, you know, being a leader. I mean, that goes so much further than just playing every day. That's what, you know, that's what winning teams have, are guys like Worrell, guys like Agnos, who, you know, you don't have to have a coach to have that team meeting. Those guys have the team meetings and say, let's go, guys, pick it up. And, you know, those kind of leadership qualities that, you know, you see year after year with guys like Turner Brown, who were those kind of guys when he was there. You know, those guys coming out of East Carolina, they, you know, not even on the field, you know, like a guy like Alec Burleson, look at him, he'll probably be in the big leagues in the next month or so. You know, these guys have that leadership quality that translates to the next level.
A couple more things for you. I know you had a guy like Jamie Page on the team that you played on. A guy, I think maybe that would be a good comparison for a guy like Lane Hoover, as far as his style of play. Just talk about, you know, your impressions of Hoover and the way, you know, he provides so much, or so much of a spark at the top of the lineup. And then also a guy like a freshman in Jacob Jenkins Cowart, that is such an emotional leader, and you know, the guy that really hasn't filled into his body just yet. You know, 6'6", 215 pounds.
Oh, absolutely. Hoover, man, he's that guy who just, you know, makes other managers and coaches have gray hair, because he can – I mean, there could be two strikes and he'll lay down a bunt. He's just a guy who's going to – every at-bat is going to just put pressure on the defense. And, you know, you put enough pressure on the defense early in that lineup – you know, guys make mistakes to the next couple guys. You see, you know, even though it might not translate, I know he had a little struggling in the playoffs, but he had quality at bats that, you know, possibly translated to the home runs that Worrell got by, you know, the pitchers so focused on that at bat by Hoover that Worrell got a good pitch to hit the next at bat. So, you know, some of those things people don't always see. You know, a guy like him, man, he just battles every at bat and, you know, makes it difficult on the pitcher and the team. And then Jenkins Cowart, man, that kid's going to be a special player, and he's huge kid. He has that it factor, man. He, you know, the big games, a lot of freshmen, I even know when I was a freshman, man, big games, you get a little nervous, you get a little scared, man. That dude steps up. The big opportunities, he wants to be the guy hitting. He wants to be the guy making the play in the field. I mean, there's no freshman in that kid anymore. He has evolved, and he wants to be the guy. And, man, to have a freshman come in and be that guy is truly special. And, you know, it's going to be exciting to watch him the next 2 years at ECU, because, you know, he puts on 20, 25 pounds this offseason. We're talking about an All-American type kind of player, man. It's exciting to watch.
As someone who was being brought into the program, like you mentioned, by former assistant coach Kevin McMullen and Coach LeClaire's staff, just talk about, obviously you're managing your own team there in Lexington, so you probably would not be able to get out to Omaha. Just tell Pirate Nation what that would mean to you to you know, be able to see the Pirates playing there at Charles Schwab Stadium or Charles Schwab Field, the former TD Ameritrade in downtown Omaha.
And truly, I mean, that's what we worked every day for. I mean, we talked about it every single day. That's what this program was, you know, that's what we strived every day, is to get to Omaha. And, you know, we failed at getting there, but you know, the consistent of, you know, Cliff Godwin era, Aura era, you know, the guys in 09, the every 4 or 5 years we put together teams and have built this program to what it is. So, I mean, it's all that blood, sweat, and tears we put into the program and all the programs before us and after us, man, it's, you know, we're waiting for that special day and we're hoping it's on Sunday this upcoming weekend, man. These guys have, you know, are the epitome of what, you know, a Pirate is. We go out and they battle you and they find every way to win. And, you know, every man wants to get it done. And I'm excited to watch it this weekend. I will, you know, I will be supporting. And, you know, if there's a scheduling conflict, I might have to, you know, flex the muscles a little and get another ejection to watch the boys in Omaha. But no, I'm super excited for the boys this weekend. I wish them, you know, the best of luck. And man, this is what it's about, you know, hosting a super regional in Greenville against a big school like Texas. I mean, that's the way we want it to go to Omaha. And, you know, it seems like this year it's aligning right for us.
Appreciate the time, Tom. We'll let you learn. I know you're shortly going to have to exchange a lineup card, but again, appreciate the time. Best of luck this season. We look forward to having you back on down the road.
You got it, man, Bubba. Hey, go Pirates! Let's get a big 2 wins this weekend. I'll be watching from afar. So you have a great day, my friend.
Randy Macy. We appreciate everyone tuning in. Again, you can follow us on social media on Twitter and TikTok. Instagram of the sports. Like, follow us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Again, we appreciate you tuning in. And as always, go